Well, as you can see up on the screen, we're going to be, here's your challenge, right? Here's, right off the bat, I'm throwing a challenge at you. Find the book of Haggai, right? Find that book. It's towards the end of the Old Testament before you get to Matthew, one of the minor prophets. We got to blow the dust off of that section. While you're looking for that, I just wanted to make mention that I noticed there are connection cards on the back table out in the gymnasium. Please feel free to fill that out. If you would like prayer, if you would like me to visit, if you'd like to make a connection with me, right? We're getting to know each other, and if you want to just either hand it to me or put it in the offering box, it'll find its way to my desk. So I would love to meet with you or your family. If there's any need like that or just for no reason at all, please, I would relish the opportunity to get to know you and you, me. And on that note, I thank you for your patience with regards to I'm coming out of Clark Carpentry and moving into, like, this is obviously I'm all in. I'm just finishing up a few obligations that I made commitments to families who wanted a new kitchen, who needed a new bathroom. We're finishing up that, Lord willing, this coming week. So there's been opportunity where I've been waiting on material and have just enjoyed the opportunity to be here and study. And if you see a light blue truck out here, hey, knock on the door, come in and say hi to me. I would love that. So anyways, with that being said, I hope you found Haggai. Haggai, an old minor prophet. And if you're familiar with, maybe you're not familiar with it, or whether you're familiar with it, the setting is, and if you have a study Bible, aren't they great? They kind of give you the background with what is happening here. And Haggai is, along with Zechariah and Ezra, were some of the men of God that God used when Israel was allowed to go back to Jerusalem and start to rebuild the temple and then the walls. Nehemiah comes and helps build the walls of Jerusalem. Haggai, Zechariah, and Ezra are men of God who encouraged the people of God after 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Amazing! Like, this is not to be taken for granted that God worked in the heart of King Cyrus and allowed the people who were in captivity to go back to their homeland. Incredible. So they begin this work, right, to rebuild the temple, but there was obviously opposition. They're like, what are you doing? Who said you could do that? And they began to face opposition. And then the burden of, where do we live? We got to build our houses, and we got to have, you know, we got to plant seeds. We got to how do we feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, and you know, the money. How do we keep cash flow? These kind of things. So they began to shift their focus and priority, and so this is a call. Haggai is a man of God talking to the people of God, calling them back to the reality that look at this. This is God's purpose and design. He orchestrated this. He wants us to do this. He's calling them back to the priority of building God's temple. And this is the key, right? This is the key to Haggai, is that they're building a physical place which represented God residing there. This was their relationship with God. A decaying temple was indication and equal to a decaying relationship with the people of Israel. And Haggai is calling them back to reestablish their priorities. And that's point number one. It's only two chapters. We'll hit some of the highlights and glean from that the idea. So it's not going to be hard to transition from Haggai to Faith Bible in 2025 when you consider that their relationship with God was based upon how they viewed the temple of God. Where's the temple of God today? Right? He has taken up residence within you as a believer. And if you neglect that, God has issues. Like he has here. So we'll see the relationship with God and the nation Israel with regards to their purpose of rebuilding the temple is a direct relationship to their relationship with God. It relates to God and them. And so let's begin reading in chapter 1, verse 2 of Haggai. This is what the Lord of hosts says. These people, they say that it's time, that the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Well, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Verse 4 says, well, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? You see what he's saying here? You have, number one, you have misplaced priorities. You're supposed to, your focus and your priority is my house, my relationship with you. And now you are so concerned about your place and you are living in these paneled, that indicates prosperity. Wood was hard to come by and they found it and put it in their house while the house of God remains ruined. Now therefore, in verse 5, says the Lord of hosts, and then this is where we get the title of our message, consider your ways, or give careful thought to your ways. Think about what's happening in your life and what is going on. Verse 6 says, you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag that has holes in it. Give careful thought to your ways. What's going around and on in your life? And does it have any correlation with your relationship with me? This is strong stuff. This is powerful stuff. I don't know if it rings a bell to you when you read this right off the bat, but what caught my attention, doesn't it sound like Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? You don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 6 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys or where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, you know, I know that you need these things, and the pagans, those who even rejected me, they pursue that. This is what they seek. This is what life is all about. What do we eat? What do we wear? And he says, don't be concerned about that. Verse 32, the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And this is the verse you're probably familiar with. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Haggai is the Old Testament version of God or Jesus' sermon in Matthew chapter 6. He's telling them, look, seek first the kingdom of God. And as a believer, if that is not your priority, how is life going? Consider what's happening around you. God will not take second place. If you're a Christian here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, Savior, and greatest treasure, he's a jealous God. He will not take second place. You cannot serve God and whatever else. You cannot treat God, his commandments, or his authority with contempt without facing loving discipline. Right? This is what Haggai is saying. Give careful thought to your ways. God will not be mocked. You're not going to laugh at God. He's no joke. This is not trivial. He has purchased you with the blood of his one and only Son. You have been predetermined in eternity past, and he's gone to great lengths to redeem you and purchase you, and you are his own possession. Do you think he's going to just let his bride prostitute herself off to somebody else? No way! No way. He allows things to happen and causes things to happen in your life and mine to get Jerry, I need to get your attention. You have misplaced priorities. It's loving discipline. Say, hey, give careful thought to your ways. I remember I attribute my salvation early in my life. I don't know if you remember some of these movies that came out. Thief in the Night, Image of the Beast, Distant Thunder. I'm probably dating myself, right? This is like the Left Behind series when I was like 9 or 10. And I was sitting in the Baptist Church of Hume, New York. I remember and watching this movie, and it scared the out of me. And I didn't want to be left behind. I didn't want to be left behind. So I look back and say, I believe that's where God did a work in my life. And I cried out to him, and he saved me. He saved me. But attending the youth group about 12, 13, we were going through the Ten Commandments. You know, number one? Right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. At that time, I loved my Yamaha YZ80. I lived for that. I dreamt about it. I thought about it. If I could have rode it before school, I would have. But it was after school and all weekend. It was my God, right? If it consumes your time, talent, and resources other than Jesus Christ, well, there was one day, and it was fast. It had a power band that was right there, two-stroke. I was up a hill so quick. I used to race my friend who had a Kawasaki. I would beat him every time. We were up a hill. I was up the hill, hit the brakes, went over the handlebars into a thorn bush, got all scratched up, and of course, didn't think anything of it that time, but the very next day, I still remember this. I'm 58, and I'm looking back, and Haggai is telling them, consider your ways. Give careful thought. You have misplaced priorities. And so what happened the very next day in my life, my dad had a muzzle loader, and I knew where he kept the gunpowder. Right? And as a 13-year-old boy, my friends and I that lived on the road, we always hung out together, and I had an empty CO2 cartridge from my BB gun. Hey, this would make a great firecracker. Took my dad's gunpowder, filled it, and put it on our driveway at the house. And we couldn't get it lit. We tried every kind of a wick. I got the bright idea, hey, why don't I just leave a little trail of gunpowder, and we'll see if it'll go off. Oh, boy, did it go off. I no sooner bent down and struck, and it went boom. I had no facial hair. I get up. I'm 13 years old. I'm holding my ears because it rung me like a bell. And my friend Todd, I had a bunch of, thank God that there was, he kept everybody else safe. My friend Todd says, Jerry, your side, and on my side was a hole in my white T-shirt where a piece of metal from that CO2 cartridge entered my side. And there was, of course, blood, and there was hospital visits, and the doctor was picking tar out of my eyes because of the blacktop, and I had a piece of metal in there, and so here I am, 13 years old, and the Lord's like, okay, Jerry, will you consider your ways? I mean, this was the thought, right? Having a YZ80 is not the issue, and they're not evil, But I elevated that and put that as my God. It consumed me. I loved it. I did it. That was all of my time. And at 13, as we were going through the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, I began to think, you know, maybe this might have something to do with my relationship with my God. And he used that to move me from where I was to where he wanted me to be. Jerry, your relationship with me is more important than your dirt bike. Haggai is doing the same thing. Listen, give careful thought to your ways. Do you think there's some reason where you sown so much, but you got so little? Do you think? Do you think there might be a reason? You just consider, give careful thought. We met last week. We celebrated communion, right? What a wonderful service. The Spirit was just had a sense that he was doing a great thing, and we celebrated and remembered all that God has done. And do you recall Paul's words to the Corinthians when he said, don't take this in an unworthy manner, right? And the reason he said, look at, this might be why, or a matter of fact, it was a statement saying, this is why some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some of you have even fallen asleep, or you died in the Lord. So this is not trivial, right? This is my encouragement to our young people, high school, college, and younger. Put a stake in the ground and raise your banner. He is my Lord. He is my King. He is my greatest treasure. And I will seek him first. And I will trust him that all these other things, education, relations, all of that stuff will fall into place. Right? If you make God the blazing sun at the center of your universe, all the planets of your life will find their proper orbit. This is the encouragement to us this morning. And I encourage especially our young people, do it early. Surrender. Make that commitment. And resolve that with the power that he gives me, I will walk with him. I will serve him. By faith, I will make choices and set priorities and establish values that are biblical. And I don't care what other people think. Whose fault is this in Haggai? Right? Look at verses 9 and 10 of chapter 1. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little, and what you brought home, I blew away. Well, why? Why? Give careful thought to your ways, declares the Lord of hosts. Why did I do this? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you is busy with his own house. Each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, and for that reason, the heavens above have withheld their dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I've called for the drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and what the ground brings forth on man and beast and all their labors. Whose fault is this? The covenant-keeping, faithful God did not walk away. Jerry walks away. Jerry misplaces his Israel started the work on the temple and then got distracted. And then their priority and their focus and their values was on their stuff. And God was getting their attention. Give careful thought to your ways. Misplaced priorities. Well, then they have a chance to respond, right? So now that God sent a man to say, this is why, and this is what's going on, how did they respond in the chapter 1, verse 12? Zerubbabel is the governor, Joshua is the high priest, and then you have all the other people in verse 12. They obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God. and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. They were convicted. The power of the Holy Spirit said, yep. You know, and thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to give them eyes to see for the reality of the reason this is happening. He's right. Haggai is right. We've neglected the temple, which is a representation of our relationship with God. And he's brought these things upon us because he loves us enough not to allow us to go this way again. Do we realize that we've been 70 years in Babylon and we're doing the exact same things that our forefathers did? Come on, we need to wake up. And they got the fear of the Lord is living in reverence of God and in reference to God. That's a simple definition of what does it mean to fear the Lord? We live in reverence of him. We're in awe of our maker and creator, sustainer and savior. And we live in reverence to him. All that he has shown us and revealed himself to be, we take it seriously and we apply it to our life. We live in reverence of him. And the people in Israel, like, we haven't been doing this. It's true. There was opposition. We became distracted and we're like, you're right, let's get back at it. And in verse 13, Haggai speaks to them again, a message from the Lord to them, and he says, I am with you, declares the Lord. I'm with you. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, stirred up the spirit of Yeshua, stirred up the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord, their host, their God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For his patience, for his mercy, for his loving discipline. He moved in their hearts, empowering them to walk in obedience. So we can go from misplaced priorities to reestablishing correct biblical, God-honoring priorities. And God will honor. He is with you. His Spirit indwells you. You are a child of God. Only those who are born of God are children of God. Everyone else is created by God, but only the Christian, the believer, who is born of God is truly a child of God. And a loving Heavenly Father loves his child enough to discipline them, to get their attention. And this is what he's doing in your life and mine. Misplaced priorities. So as we get into chapter 2, I titled this, point number 2 is just simply glory days. Because it's interesting what God does through the prophet Haggai. Look at what he says in verse 3 of chapter 2. We're talking about old glory days. Chapter 2, verse 3. Who's left among you who saw this house in its former glory? Well, how do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? What is he doing? He's addressing shattered expectations. Hey, I know it's only been 70 years in Babylon, and some of you who were taken into captivity, remember the temple that Solomon built. And now you're here building this temple. What do you think? What does it look like? And they're like, and they're almost depressed. This is nothing compared to Solomon's. This is nothing compared to what Solomon, the grandeur, the beauty. And you're asking us, and we're building this? Embarrassing. It's not worth the effort. Why even do it? So he purposely is addressing some shattered expectations from those who saw the previous temple compared to this one today. And he says in verse 4, Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel the governor. Yet now be strong, Yeshua the high priest. Listen, all you people, be strong, declares the Lord. Work, work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I have made with you when you came out of Egypt. This is my faithfulness in your life. I've made a covenant. I am keeping it. And even though in your eyes this may seem small, you are fulfilling a purpose and plan greater than yourself. For thus saith the Lord in verse 6, you once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house, the one they're building right now, which seems so small compared to Solomon's and not glorious at all, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will bring peace. I will bring peace. No matter what the opposition, God has all the resources. No matter what the opposition, God has all the resources. The silver's mine, the gold is mine. And the other thing I want you to realize, in verse 9, when he says, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, you're building more than you can see. You're building more than you can see. 500 years later, Emmanuel, God with us, walks into that temple. The latter glory was going to far surpass. This little tiny temple looks like a shack compared to what Solomon built. The maker of heaven and earth, Emmanuel, God with us, 500 years later, walks into that temple. You're building more than you realize. And the same goes for you and I. He who began the good work is faithful to complete it. Do you realize you're building more than you realize? Romans 8:18 says, this present suffering is nothing to compare to the glory that he will reveal. Amen? This is good stuff. You are building more than you realize. God is at work in your life, the temple in which he dwells, and he will be faithful to complete it. This present suffering is nothing to be compared. We're building more than we realize. One day when faith is sight and our hope is the reality we enjoy forever, we're going to be like, wow. And all of the questions, all of the unanswered questions and the whys, we look back and we're going to be like, now I get it. Why did that come into my life? Why did God allow this to happen? And we prioritize our vertical relationship with him. Some of the horizontal things go unanswered, but he will make it all plain. When we see him and see him like he is, it will all make sense. And we'll see the loving providence of God in his work in your life and in mine. Verse 4 says, work, for I am with you. My spirit remains in your midst. How many people here have seen or were here in the glory days, so to speak, of Faith Bible Church? right? When there was 250, 300 people, all kinds of different services and outreaches and things like that. And what do you think about it now? Right? What do you think about it now? Can I encourage you? I don't know what God has in store for us in the future, but I can promise you there's going to be greater glory. Not because of a number of people or because there's other outreaches and we do so many. This is my heart, is that the Spirit of God would be here. I don't care how many people or what things are going on and all that kind of stuff. But if the Spirit of God is here at Faith Bible Church, there is greater glory than we could ever experience. And He will do His work in His time according to His plan. We just keep our hand to the plow. We maintain Him as our priority. And He takes care of all the rest. May God help us to work. May God help us to realize that He is a covenant-keeping God. He promised He will build His church. And may we pray and petition and fast and ask God, may Your Spirit remain in our midst. That's my heart for this place and this ministry. May we look forward to greater things. Misplaced priorities, glory days, and number three, this is our only hope. As we work through chapter 2, he uses the illustration and talks to the priest specifically in verse 11. Ask the priests about the law. Verse 12 of chapter 2, if someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? And the priest says, no. No, of course not. Well then, Haggai, the Lord, speaking through him, asks, well, if someone who is unclean by contacting a dead body touches any of these, do they become unclean? And the priest says, it does. It does become unclean. And the idea is that Haggai is getting the people to realize it is easy to become defiled. It is harder to be holy. And with you leaving the temple the way it is, our relationship, you are defiled, and everything you touch is defiled and unclean. Haggai says, so it is with these people in verse 14, and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands and what they offer, it's unclean. He's calling them back to covenant faithfulness. Priests, I want you to do your job. Remind the people of the law and the requirements. May they come back to faithful obedience, trusting, though it doesn't make sense in some of these things, that by faith we realize God asks this of us, and we will do it. Return to covenant faithfulness. And then, guess what? You will enjoy the faithfulness of God. Restore this relationship that was broken. Consider from this day onward in verse 15, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When you came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail. You did not turn to me, declares the Lord. I tried to get your attention and you neglected me. Well, verse 18 says, consider from this day onward, the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Consider, give careful thought to your ways. Is the seed still yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have yielded nothing. And if you're in the habit of underlining your Bible, underline this last statement in verse 19. But from this day on, I will bless you. You have misplaced priorities. Don't look back on the old glory days and wish you could have stayed there. Look forward to what God is going to do. You, God, are our only hope. We return to covenant faithfulness to you, and you will bless us, and we will enjoy your faithfulness. Give careful thought to your ways. Verse 15 and 18 in the ESV says, consider, consider, consider. Give careful thought to your ways. Return to covenant faithfulness, and you will enjoy the faithfulness of God. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to share with you Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And as a result, he will be like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. But be careful. Notice the process here. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel. Who does not, well, now all of a sudden he's not walking, he's standing. And then we find that he's not only not walking and not standing, he's sitting. It's a slippery slope, right? How easily we can misplace our priorities. Be distracted or discouraged and think, oh, the days of the past were the good old days, and we look forward with no hope and anticipation of a great God doing a great work. But he wants to, and he will, as we establish our priorities. As we surrender to his will in our life, look forward to what he has in store for us, and totally depend upon his move and work. He's our only hope. So in closing, I just have three observations from Haggai. Number one, transparent and honest self-examination not only considers the fruit of sinful behavior, but increasingly uncovers the root of sinful behavior. If you have a garden and you're taking care of it, you go out every so often and you pull weeds. What happens if you only get above the ground and pull the green leaves of the weed and you didn't get the root? It's not long before it has grown right back in. And so this is the important part of self examination. Honest, transparent self-examination. It not only considers the fruit of sinful behavior, but it increasingly uncovers the root. Our prayer should be like that of David, and as I'm thinking about it in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is part of the Christian life. There is often and always self-examination, an attitude and lifestyle of repentance. Lord, by your Spirit, if you have revealed something to me, I want to keep short accounts with you. This vertical relationship is that important. Horizontally, I know you will help me take care of all the rest. And you will move and work in ways that I have not ever seen. I want to know you. I want to know your word. I want to be like that tree planted by the streams of living water. Lord, don't let me walk or stand or sit in those who don't revere you. Lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, help me to pull weeds in my life. And in Matthew, well, the second one, second observation, don't waste your life and build on the rock. This is taken from Matthew chapter 6 and, Matthew 7, verses 24 and 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, he will be like a man who builds his house on a rock. The rains fall, the floods come, the winds blow, the house still stands. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the winds and storms of life will come, and it all falls apart. Right? Don't waste your life. Build on the rock. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? Young people, don't waste your life. Begin now in establishing Jesus as your greatest priority. And then third and finally, I hope that, and I would like you to see that the sovereign hand of God is behind all of the events of history. The sovereign hand of God is behind all of the events of history. From Haggai, turn back in your Bible. I just want you to see this for yourself. Ezra, right before Nehemiah. Ezra chapter 1. Remember, Ezra was a contemporary with Haggai and Zechariah. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, so that the word of the Lord through the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Did you catch that? This is God fulfilling his promise spoken through Jeremiah. So here now, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing that Israel, the people who were held in bondage in Babylon, now Persia has conquered Babylon, and now this king is allowing them to go back. And it's just like Jeremiah has said. And God is fulfilling his promise. The sovereign hand of God behind the events of history. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And he channels it and turns it. He moves and works in the hearts of kings. And whether they recognize it or not, they are following his decree, providentially working itself out in time and space. And this is good and glorious news for you and me. Right? The hand of God is over your life. He is moving and working in people in authority and in places and in the realms of which you live to cause things to happen, make things happen for your greatest good and his glory. Micah prophesied that out of Bethlehem would come a great king. 700 years later, as only God could move two unnamed or unimportant teenagers in a crisis pregnancy to Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, right? He moves and works in the Roman Empire so that at the exact appointed time, God was going to send his son. And two teenagers finding themselves unexpectedly having a pregnancy, and Caesar decrees that there should be a census, so everybody has to go to their hometown to be registered. And because Micah, 700 years prior to that, predicted that the coming Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, it happened. This is glorious good news for you and I, because this is our God. And in eternity past, He has chosen you to be in a loving relationship with Him. And what was in His mind, now in time and space, has to work itself out because He has decreed it. And He has moved and worked in your sphere of influence to cause a Sunday school teacher, a VBS program, or a youth group, or you simply picked up the Word of God and for some reason and began to read, and the Spirit of God quickened you and awakened you and gave you the faith to believe and repent and say, Lord, I am sorry. I need a Savior. He has done that in your life. And He is doing it still today. This is good news for us, that we have a God whose hand is in the working of the events of history. China doesn't know this. North Korea doesn't know it. Maybe most of American leadership doesn't know it. But God is fulfilling His purposes and His plan to the glory of His name, for the furtherance of His kingdom, and the good of His people. May we enjoy this. May we relish this. And may we work. May we work at fulfilling His purpose and plan for us here at Faith Bible. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we're grateful for our time this morning. We thank You for the Word of God, its relevance for us today, profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. And Lord, we ask that You truly would search us. Each individual this morning would pray to God and ask that, Lord, my vertical relationship with You, it hasn't been like it should be. And I'm convicted this morning that I have misplaced priorities. Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me. Lord, we just ask that You would restore this relationship and our fellowship with You, that we would confess our sins and keep short accounts, and we would consider what's happening around us. Is this a cause of something that I have done and misplaced? Lord, we, as only You can, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, move us from where we are to where You would like us to be on our journey with You. May we conform to the image of Your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your great patience. Thank You for Your loving discipline. Thank You for reminding us that You are with us. Your Spirit remains in us. And we trust that greater things are coming and are in store as we look forward to what You're going to do. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.